Welcome to Dog Ear Nation, your weekly technology and innovation podcast, bringing you your dose of our opinions of cutting-edge websites deliciously tagged with Dog Ear Nation. Dog Ear Nation reflects the opinions of your hosts, Michael Martin, Andy Piper, and Michael Rowe, and not of any organization that we have been, are, or will be affiliated. So stick around, plug in, and turn your headphones up to 11, and enjoy the show.
This is episode 158, Vile in a Vial.
Tag it. Dog Ear Dash Nation.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here on, what day is today? June 17th?
Sounds good.
It is the 18th of Friday. Beautiful Durham, North Carolina, doing a live show at Bean Traders, my favorite little coffee shop. And over to you, Michael Martin.
It's great to be here in 2010 in Bean Traders, and I'm right next to you, so obviously
nobody cares about 2010.
The same temperature and nice environment here.
Did I mention the temperature? It's, 50 degrees? We'll find out later.
Beautiful day.
Beautiful day.
Beautiful day. So we've got some what's cool to kick off the show while Andy is traveling this week.
Which is cool.
You know, that's cool. Safe travels, Andy. Michael, you tweeted about this several times.
Several hundred times this week.
Must be.
Because we were watching on Tuesday.
Yes.
It's Tuesday, the 15th. 15th, Tuesday.
Math.
Yes. The Devo listening party for their new album on Vimeo. On Ustream. It was on Ustream, not Vimeo.
Yep.
And the Cat listening party. So they were showing off their new album, Something for Everybody.
Who's they?
Devo. I already said it like three times.
Did you?
Devo. And they had a room full of cats, and they played the album over and over again for 9 hours while having a stream of videos of cats. And, you know, it must be chilling music, you know, because the cats just kind of chilled out, and they kept trying to get them wound up, and they would sit there.
Now, did they check the cats for any sort of deformities or anything after?
I don't believe there was an autopsy after the show. But it was pretty cool.
Very cool. All right, so
what's your what's cool?
I've got a pair of what's cools because they were just way too cool, and I've got others that I didn't put in here because they didn't make the cut. But the two what's cools I picked off the Twitter stream, number one is the interesting bento boxes.
Oh, those were cool.
And, you know, you have to have a look at this because the idea of eating Gene Simmons' tongue, which looks like it's probably a piece of salmon, maybe some tuna.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just very.
It was pretty gross.
Pretty gross. The Wallace and Gromit at the top are very cool. I like
those. I thought a lot of them were really cool. The Sony joystick controller made out of rice was pretty cool. And the Jawas was cool.
Yeah, they were cool. And then the second one's cool, considering this is still World Cup week.
What do you mean week? It's a month. It's a month long.
Yeah, I know. Well,
and nobody better tell me who won this morning in either of the games that I'm watching. I've got them recording at home or recorded by now for at least one of them.
Well, by the time our listeners get to hear this,
they can tell us.
They can tell us.
Because I'll hopefully watch it over the weekend.
Well, one would think so.
Well, I've got a game I got to go to on Saturday.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Railhawks. Baltimore.
You have to find some time. You still have the games on the iPad, though, right?
Yes.
Can you go back and watch them on the iPad?
Yes.
Or are they only streaming live?
No, it's audio live, and then it goes back. It has key play video clips.
Oh, cool.
So you can just, like, spend 15 minutes and watch all the key plays.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of key plays.
So speaking of key plays, The Onion, as The Onion is wont to do, created an introduction to World Cup soccer for those who are not familiar with the game of football. So you can kind of mouse over various elements on the screen and learn more about the game in case all you know is, you know, American football.
I think the circle in the center is pretty important.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying, you know. Maybe if you get the ball in here, then it's worth some points, right?
Well, I do have one more cool that we're going to talk about right now.
Oh, no.
So about a year ago, I got a gift certificate for my birthday from Andy from ThinkGeek.
Yep.
And I forgot all about it. So recently I found it, and I purchased mana potions.
Do you have a picture of these?
We will take a picture of them. Or I will put a picture in the show notes, maybe not of these. I brought two of them. For the show recording today, and these
we're going to recharge our mana for the show.
Yes, And it's really cool. It's little energy drink bottles that are the shape of the mana potions from, actually from Diablo.
Yeah.
So, all right. So try this.
Opening up the mana potion.
Opening up the top.
Okay, there we go.
This could be really disgusting.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. It's like this little energy drink, right?
Yeah, it's energy drink. Okay.
All right.
Ugh. Oh, it smells like feet. You ready?
Do we have to drink the whole thing? The
whole thing. One chug. Okay. It's going to be disgusting. If
cheers.
You throw up, we'll edit it out.
Mana,
cheers.
Cheers. Oh, that's vile.
That's vile. It tastes like feet, too.
It's probably like 3 years old.
Disgusting.
Right. Coffee.
I need coffee. Bean.
Need more coffee.
Yuck. God, that was vile.
All right, we're not doing that again.
No.
Hey, let's send one to Andy. He would love this.
Oh, that was vile.
Oh, disgusting. All right, so so speaking of vile.
Speaking of vile.
Or two vials, I guess, if they are. Vile in a
God. So,
we've got the obligatory 3D internet
yes,
section back again, so thank you, Allerhead, for the link on the the goggles that will transform soldiers into Terminators.
Yes, this is the OLED goggles.
Yes.
Did you read that? It's really, really cool. So they had a augmented reality event out in California last week. I guess, is this truly last week? Yeah, last week. Funded by DARPA, this a project that the company called Tangram Partners. Tangram Partners?
Tangram, yeah.
That's basically building a augmented reality overlay set of goggles for the military that actually will not only show information to the soldiers out in the field in real time, but also collect all the information, because there's a camera in it, feed it back to a centralized server to allow for real-time data analysis of the firefight, the battlefield, or whatever.
Yeah, arguably you could say, well, take this unit and go over here, mm-hmm. and because you can communicate with the soldiers in the field in real time.
Yeah,
and with facial recognition, you should be able to identify the bad guys versus the good guys quickly.
Yeah,
and I do have to say that, Michael, I've been reading Demon.
What do you think?
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that a great book?
Well, this is directly from it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we also do here a lot, we've been talking about this for a while.
A while.
Contact lenses, et cetera, right?
Yep. Oh, man, I still have that nasty taste.
I know, I do, too.
So, by the way, I know we didn't tag it for or we didn't hit it for the show, but there was a list of 12 technologies that they're going to change the world?
Yeah, that was last week's show.
Was it from last week's show?
Yeah.
Okay. So
this is one of them.
It's really cool.
Or could be one of them.
Listen to last week's show and you'll hear it.
All right, so moving into our Technotronics section, because we've got a whole slew of items in there. Allard gave us another link, that from Gizmodo, that asks the question, would you fly on a plane that was held together with duct tape?
Actually, since it's not duct tape, it's I think it's called metal tape or aluminum tape or heat tape or something like that.
Heat tape.
I would rather see that on the plane than see the gaping hole that was there before. So, yes.
So, Bondo, maybe Bondo would be okay?
Actually, Bondo would probably be too heavy.
So it's on the flap, right? So this is where it is. So shouldn't be worried that it was like on the wing where the tanks are.
Well,
for the
actually, if you scroll down in the comments, there's actually Boeing B-17 Flying Fortress picture that the whole back end is taped together.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so, you know, I look at it this way. If it's a temporary fix and it gets me from point A to point B, I'm okay. Years ago, I get Aaron Smith's Smithsonian magazine. Read it cover to cover.
Yep.
Really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, they had an article that actually explained what the airlines do when they take a plane in for its service. And they have a mandatory service after X number of miles or years mm-hmm. in service, where they basically take the entire plane apart.
Yes.
And put it all back together.
Yes. So an older plane is de facto safer than a brand new plane straight out of the factory.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually pretty cool. And they showed all the pictures of it, and some of it was pretty disgusting looking because all the water rot and other things that seep into the fuselage.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty amazing story. So I don't have any problem with this.
Well, you may not. Actually, I know you don't know this because I don't know this before.
I worked
for a summer for Piedmont Airlines.
Uh-huh.
Whereas they were just being
now defunct Piedmont.
They were acquired by U.S. Airways.
Okay.
And this was in their avionics shop. And so that's exactly what was going on.
Pretty cool stuff.
I helped write an application to associate incoming parts to the appropriate skilled
technicians.
But that's exactly the case, right? They would take apart the radar. They would take apart the everything and make sure that they were all back up to factory snuff and put them back in the plane. So an older plane really was a safer plane than a brand new one.
Wouldn't it be cool if you actually could get your car done that way?
Well, yes, but you'd have to spend a lot of money to do that.
Yeah, but, you know, because you think about over time, nuts and bolts slowly loosen up on your car, and it's not as tight feeling as it was when you first got it. It has little rattling sounds or whatever.
Yes.
And it would be really cool to see the car being rebuilt top to bottom,
but that's how
rewired.
That's how some of them are, right?
Yeah.
You know, 20, 30-year-old cars, that's in a lot of cases, that's what's going on. So, Allerhead, thanks for that link. Heidi Goseek gave us a couple of links, too, as she was traveling. This one's from Mashable.com on QR codes covering the entirety, well, maybe not the entirety, but at least Times Square in New York City.
It actually looked like one giant billboard, and they would rotate through the QR codes.
Yeah, well.
So in the article, there's a picture of them. So if you scroll down, you'll see three of them. I have a QR reader on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And I read each of the QR codes that are on this page.
And?
Boy, they don't get it. All of them take you to, like, government websites. One of them, the middle one, is you could win tickets to the Tonys.
Right.
Last week. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, so these were probably,
very
like,
short-term.
Real-time things, right?
The other two were like pure government services that said, hey, you got here from the QR code, now here's my site.
Okay.
Well. There was no really, I mean, they could have easily just put a URL up there.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time since we've actually had a face-to-face recording.
It's been a while. Yeah, I just need a toothbrush or something. Oh.
Yeah, this mana potion is still vile, and I think I might have to, you know, get another red eye or something to really cut the taste. But I do think it's interesting. I do like QR codes.
Yes.
We've talked about this on the show for some time. I actually put one on my iMac at home. When I sent email from one of my accounts, it automatically throws a QR code in there that I generated. For me.
Yeah.
That actually points you to my website and all that other stuff. Yeah. Just like those lame QR codes in here.
Yeah, so, you know, you could have a T-shirt that does that. You could have a tattoo that does that.
But the cool thing is, I mean, you can put much, much more information than just a link to a website.
Sure.
And, you know.
But, you know, in the advent of something like Google Goggles, which we also talked about recently and kind of had that, you know,
can
other
you
thing
imagine
too.
In the battlefield on the first tag, having QR codes, like, on the back of the heads of the other soldiers.
Now, all we have to do is ask the other, you know, opposing force
to
please
tattoo that in your
stickers
head?
On them. So.
Here's a Taliban QR code.
So, I, it's an interesting, you know, this is a barcode kind of thing, but it feels like a technology that'll get leapfrogged, right? Because if Google Goggles, as an example, really comes into being, you don't need a QR code. You recognize the thing for what it is, right? Oh, well, that's a third-generation iPhone.
Ooh. By the way, I saw in this morning's New York Times, they had an update on the Watson project, the Jeopardy plane computer. And
yes.
It's kicking some butt.
I bet it is.
Very cool.
Interesting. Okay.
So, moving right along.
Moving right along. Next one that we have in here is another link from Allerhead, which I thought was pretty cool. It's a phone, a Samsung phone actually, that has the ability to beam or project directly from the phone. So we're getting quickly to the point where compute technology can be as small as a phone, can project as large as a screen or large screen TV, and then allows for input in a variety of other ways. So You know, form factor-wise, laptops could be going away.
Well, actually, there's a. I think what's really cool about this, because there's been a couple of different companies that have added, you know, devices that you can hook up to your iPhone or to your Android to create these little mini projectors.
Right.
They tend to really require a dark room because, you know, you're
it's
not
hard to
carrying
get a lot of lumens
the,
out of the
right. You're not
device.
Really carrying that heavy, heavy duty. Light. But what's really cool about it is this is getting to the point where you can carry with you your entire home theater. Right? You've got phones now with gigabytes of storage. And then you have a phone with gigabytes of storage and a decent projector.
Right.
All you need now is some portable wireless speakers that you put around the room real quick. And now you have a full-blown home theater in your pocket.
So instead of just using Skype on a plane and annoying everybody around you, you can have a multimedia extravaganza and annoy everybody.
And annoy everybody, including the captain. But this really is cool. And I'm wondering, so I was looking through, did they have the looms on it? On the display...
Let's see. Looking for it.
No, it doesn't say it. Yeah, I was really hoping to get, you know, because the
7 hours of talk time, though, that would imply it's probably not going to be able to last. It might be able to last for, what, 2 hour presentation?
It'll last for the movie, but you can't download the movie and show it.
Right.
that's the other thing with the data plan changes that a lot of the phone carriers are doing right now. They're reducing the amount of bandwidth and the amount of data you can pull down.
Right.
But we're adding these capabilities to allow you to pull down full-blown HD movies, project them on a wall.
Right? Yeah, but remember when you were a kid and, you know, you had a 300 baud modem and all that kind of stuff.
When I was a kid, they didn't have modems, at least not at home. I got the 300 baud.
It was great.
In college.
It was speedy as all get out.
I could watch those characters paint on the screen.
Yeah, so you know, this is a short term blip. My way of thinking.
I think it's the start of something that's going to be really, really interesting. Especially as you start getting, you know, more memory, better data plans, etc.
Yeah, at some point these data plans are not going to exist because data will flow. It'll be ubiquitous. You'll get it when you need it.
So by the way, speaking of data flowing, you know, I think. If not all, but most McDonald's in the U.S. now have free Wi-Fi.
And Starbucks are getting
Starbucks
there, too.
Starbucks finally is getting there.
Yeah, they won't.
McDonald's have had it for... Even I was listening to a podcast the other day. Even Crystal. Crystal burgers.
Yeah.
So for those up in the north of the U.S., these are like White Castle burgers.
Yeah.
They've had free Wi-Fi for some time now, and Starbucks is finally getting around to it. I think the deal there was Starbucks had a deal with AT&T.
Right.
And AT&T was selling bandwidth.
Probably so.
So now they've probably finished that deal and they're able to open it up for free Wi-Fi now.
Right. So if you have enough of the free Wi-Fis showing up everywhere, these data plans really don't mean much. Or, better still, they're driving customers to specific hotspot locations, which is what these other locations want. So it's sort of a, you know, joint marketing effort here.
You add that, plus... services like BrightKite and Foursquare and Tryout and other ones, GoWalla, and you really target them.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hook them in,
Display the movies on the wall.
Annoy everybody in the coffee shop.
Yes. By recording a podcast.
Which is kind of what we're doing, so that's good. Next up on the list from Andy, who gave us a link called decibel.net, was an interesting thing. And Michael, you explored this in more depth than I did.
Yes, which means I have read it. No, I watched the video.
Yeah.
I displayed it on the big screen on the wall with my phone. No, just kidding, because it's probably a flash thing anyway. Anyway, so what Decibel is, it's another one of these services, and we've talked about ones in the past. And I know you were looking up what the old one was that we looked at.
Live Plasma.
Live Plasma.
We talked
long
about
time
a
ago.
Long time ago.
So what this does is it's trying to build out a cloud-based data source to drive the relationships between music artists, producers, performers, composers, etc., so that you can trace information, and hopefully long term you can see this as a way of improving services like Pandora and others where they do music recommendation based off of what you like and what you listen to.
Right.
The picture that they paint when they start off is back in the 60s.
Back in the day.
That was before my day. But back in the 60s, you would buy your LP. You know, that was a big, you know, what are they, 10-inch, 12-inch records?
Yes, a long-playing record.
Long-play LP.
Yes.
Unlike an EP, which was an extended play.
Or an EEP, which was an extra extended play.
What was a 45 called? An SP?
Short play.
Anyway, so you would get them home, you'd throw them on the turntable, you'd put the needle on it.
Right? Yes.
That's why records over time would wear down.
It would vibrate.
Their plastic needle would vibrate and it would pick up sound. And while you're listening to your favorite new album, you would read the liner notes. So either on the liner or on the back of the LP case, it would have, you know, who the artist was, who the producer, what people played what instruments on what songs, etc.
Right. And then do you want to tell them what the liner is? Because I bet there are people who don't know what the liner is.
Yeah, so the liner was a piece of papery type stuff in the center that the LP was in, inside of the cardboard. Right? So you had cardboard with some of the liners actually were plastic or had a plastic film to really protect the LP. Anyway, so you would look at that and you go, oh, this was produced by Joe Blow. Joe Blow also played
these
the
instruments
guitarist
on, these songs.
On this other album.
Yeah.
So you would start building out a network of stuff that you might like. Same idea here, except now leveraging cloud, leveraging all these different services, etc. They're going to build that network relationship and then sell that information to the Last FMs, the Pandoras, etc. to improve.
But Grace Snow and all these stuff already have it,
didn't
right?
say it was unique.
IMDb, you know.
Didn't say it was unique.
Yeah, okay.
They, from what I could tell, they believe they have a better algorithm.
I see. Okay.
But it's kind of interesting. I like it. Looking forward to...
I signed up for it.
It's not a beta yet.
Huh.
It sounds like they've created a website and they have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, as soon as we know more and we're a little bit further along, we will send out...
More stuff.
...links.
Cool.
So, cool stuff.
Very, very cool. All right, well, zooming light along here into the social networking section, we've got a couple of interesting items. We've talked a little bit about who owns your brand, and Michael, you're shaking your head and rubbing your forehead, and you've actually seen this before. I picked this up from a tweet from Ms. Stewart. Who's icing whom?
So as listeners of the show know, I do listen to Dig Nation. The name was actually kind of an idea for how we got our name of Dog Ear Nation many, many moons ago. And the guys over at Dig do this too.
Yes, okay, so
explain what this is, Michael.
Okay, so it's a viral game.
Did you say vile game?
It should be. I mean, yeah, we should have a mana potion version of this. That would be that.
I should have gotten the health potions. Maybe they were better.
No,
I don't think so.
These are probably... How old do you think these are?
I don't know, but they're vile.
They're vile. They're vile in a vial. So the way this game is played is you have to walk around with a bottle of Smirnoff Ice. And if you give one of those Smirnoff Ices to one of your friends who's also playing this game, they have to get on one knee and chug it on the spot. Now, if they happen to have their own bottle of Smirnoff Ice on them somewhere, probably hidden, they can block your attempt to force them to chug, and instead the one who's attempting to get them to drink has to drink theirs and the other one right then, right there in the same fashion. So it kind of reminds me a little bit of, you know, games of Assassin and, you know, stuff like that where, you know, there are people playing and you have to figure out, the real-time game and so on.
Bros icing bros.
Yeah. So it struck me as very funny because, you know, it's another case of who's owning your brand, because one of the reasons why this is... got a lot of attention is because the people who are playing this game are doing it to force their friends to drink something vile. They're not doing this because they like the beverage. They're doing it because it's funny and because they're saying, you know, the objective here is to pick a flavor like mango or peach or something that's, you know, not particularly tasteful.
Or mana.
Yeah. and get your friends to behave this way. So you know, originally, you know, the New York Times article here that's referenced was suggesting, well, perhaps this was being done by the manufacturer, by the
guerrilla marketing.
Guerrilla marketing. But all the words around it and such appear to be, well, no, not really. That's not.
Would you really
case.
Want to advertise your drink as, this is disgusting, make your friends drink it?
Yeah.
Kind of like mana potions.
So, interesting element of, you know, who owns the brand. And you, Michael, you said you've seen this before, right? This is not brand spanking new. It's just hitting some of the, you know, New York Times level
media.
Yeah,
I've seen some stuff about this a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. So, the Times is picking it up. It's been going for a little while. The only thing that's worse than this was a similar meme that I've seen on a couple different things where people are pouring vodka into their eyeballs. Have you seen this?
No.
As a way to get drunk faster, you would, and actually, it's just stupid because you don't ingest.
No, and there's impurities.
And it burns.
Okay.
So, I've seen a couple of links on that, and I'm like, okay, someone just is screwing with their friends.
Thanks?
But no thanks. It's like, I like vodka, I will drink it. I will not pour it in my eyeballs.
You have another mana potion?
Yeah, actually I have four more at home.
Oh. Andy, you'll be getting a mana potion in the mail.
I'll send an inner office mail.
Brother. All right, so we've got another link in here from Bill Sweeney. Twitterweather.media.mit.edu that lets you have a visualization of weather.
And actually it's not.
It's not weather.
It's not the weather. It is the...
It's sentiment analysis.
Sentiment about the weather. So the weather sentiment in Durham is 55, which means...
Well, so but it's an interesting visualization because everyone kind of groks quickly the weather, right? So you can get a quick trend idea of, okay, is the World Cup really hot on Twitter right now? Are people talking about it a lot? Are people talking about this, that, or the other subject?
Okay, so this is really interesting, though, because there's other topics on here, right?
Yeah.
iPhone, as weather, is 90. Big, sunny, beautiful day.
Yeah.
Oil spill is at 40, stormy. And BP is 69. So what's the disconnect there?
Well, it's a prevailing mood, right? People are kind of excited about the iPhone.
No. I mean between the 40 and the 69. The iPhone, I understand.
Yeah. Well, this I don't know how mature the technology is here, but to me, it's a quick way of representing sentiment analysis in a fashion that we are predisposed to accept, understand, and work through very quickly.
Yeah, and I'm looking. You can actually click on any of those and get the detailed tweets that they're pointing at.
Yeah.
Don't click on British Petroleum if you're at the office.
Yeah, probably not. Although that's moving very quickly in a lot of ways. And you know, the trend analysis on oil spill is going down, down, and down, right?
Yeah.
55, 49, 48, 40.
You would expect that.
Unless you were apologizing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's a cool visualization.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it's a neat
so
way.
So what has Paul McCartney done lately? I got to check that out.
I don't know. iPad? There you go. That's kind of sunny.
Yeah, but it's not as sunny as the iPhone. So we're going to check out...
And Serbia. Did you see that?
I don't want to see that because there's a game that I'm not trying to watch.
So we won't tell you about the sentiment analysis.
Today's Paul McCartney's birthday. That's why it's positive.
Oh, happy birthday.
He's 68.
Happy birthday. Well, that's pretty good. All right, so last to round out the social networking section, Andy dropped us another link on the history of social games.
I like this. This is cool.
Yeah, it's a great poster here of, you know, how do we get from, you know, dice and, you know, rattle them bones all the way into free play MMORPGs.
So I like this. Farmville, or Farmtown as they list it,
yeah,
is the descendant of gladiator games.
Really?
Yeah, follow the path. Gladiator to martial games to aristocratic games to billiards to bagatelle to pinball to arcade to network games to casual games to Farmville.
I have a hard time linking pinball to Farmville.
So I have a hard time linking two guys killing each other with swords in an arena to virtual farming.
Yeah, come water my fields, please.
Or I will kill you.
Have you played that at all?
No.
I have no desire to play Farmville.
I played Godfinger a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Which was kind of basically the same game on the iPad.
Right.
And it just really got lame. It's a way to cause things to mess up your free time.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose of those games.
I still blame Leo Laporte for Plants vs. Zombies because I...
You still play it?
I still play it.
Isn't it great?
Gosh.
It's
Leo.
Just mindless. Mindless.
I'm not listening to you anymore in game recommendations, I'm telling you.
No, but this is really cool because I do find it interesting. They actually have playing cards being based off of tarot cards.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's legitimate.
Which... I understand the card.
That's a direct
concept.
Relationship. It is.
But
there's a historical precedent for that.
I know.
Okay.
But I'm just saying tarot cards were more than just a card game. They were actually used for...
divining the future.
Right.
Sure.
And card games are games.
Yeah, but that was it's a natural complete evolution. I get that. I don't get Gladiator for
I get it. I'm not disagreeing with it. I just find it interesting.
Okay.
And
need more coffee.
And card games take you to Magic the Gathering online via Gold Farmers.
I guess I kind of get that, too.
Ooh, they have Doom in here.
All right, so Andy, thank you very much. Hope you have a safe trip back. So it is time, dum-dum-dum, for final thoughts.
Yes, it is.
And I'll
you should,
go
you
first because I think I've got a good one. This is another one I picked up off the Twitter stream, and it's kind of World Cup related here too. There's been all this talk and discussion around the Vuvuzela drone across the board, and sort of my take on this. And we'll have to do a recording of this too. Maybe I'll do it somewhere else because it'll really bother people. Is that you can make a Vuvuzela drone. But if you know how to play, you can get a whole bunch of different notes. And the link that I have... but the link that I have is how to turn off these plastic horns from bothering you and using your equalizer on your sound system or on your TV to minimize the drone so you can listen.
Yeah, because the drone part is actually a very specific frequency.
Right.
You just drop that frequency out and life is good.
Yeah. So it's a fun, fast company.
I think actually what would be better... is if the network guys who are actually recording the game would do that for us. Bring that down, leave everything else up.
You're assuming, of course, that what the commentators have to say is more intelligent than the drone.
Oh, I hate the commentators. I'd rather hear the ball. Dunk. Dunk.
So they'd just put a microphone in the ball and just, turn that up.
Yeah, they should put a microphone in the center of the ball.
Yeah.
And that way,
or
the
camera.
Players could complain about the weight being distributed incorrectly instead of the ball in general.
Or it could be just, held in the middle of the ball by magnets.
So I was watching Mythbusters the other night.
Yeah.
And they were doing a Mythbust on would a helium-filled American football go further than an oxygen-filled one? What do you think the answer was?
No.
You're absolutely right. Because oxygen is heavier.
Yeah.
And the
and
shape
can
of the,
hit it harder.
The shape of the ball is pretty much as aerodynamic as it can be.
Yeah.
And so the helium actually makes it not travel as far because it makes it significantly lighter.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
That makes sense. I love Mythbusters.
Myth?
Yes. Okay, so Michael, what's your final thought for today?
I actually have a couple.
Oh, giving me grief for two what's cool.
That's right.
And now you got a couple final thoughts, huh?
So while I do this, I'm going to show you that, which is
good.
The Mythbusters app on the iPad.
Okay, funware.
So first one is... We'll just do one. So the Linden Lab recently had a huge layoff, and I've been following various blogs and also Twitter streams on this, what are they doing, what's going on, and there's an article that we'll have in the show notes from New World Notes, Wagner James Owl reporting from it, and really, while there's been this layoff, the biggest casualty...
Yeah.
Has been the fact that they've shut down their enterprise Second Life process.
Right.
And as many people know, IBM's been doing stuff with that over the years. The government's doing stuff with that over the years. A lot of people were trying, and they just really, from everything we can tell, is they couldn't handle it. So I think what they've done is they've consolidated back to the consumer side.
Right.
In a safe play. And are letting things like open source really address the enterprise space.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Which is a shame, because you really want a supported platform for the enterprise. And we've been talking about that for years. And now you're going to let it go to these more niche players, which are good. Or you're going to go with the open source model.
Yeah, so the open source model does allow for innovation at that level. And we also know that Second Life's not the only environment. There's still plenty of environments that exist out there.
Yep. But that's a kind of a final thought, right?
I mean, yeah.
They kind of ended that for that company. That's a final. Maybe they'll come back around in a couple of years and see the market mature again and step back in.
Or there may be people that have exited Linden Labs that create something new that address the space.
Yep.
We'll be watching for that.
So,
and we'll be watching for your tags.
All of them. Especially if you tag them on Delicious with Dagger Nation.
Dagger-Nation?
Dagger Nation, where we kill your tags.
And drink mana.
Oh. Andy, we miss you. Hope you have a safe trip home and back next week. Bye.
Bye.
Please remember to tag your interesting sites with Dogear-Nation. You may follow the co-hosts of the show on Twitter at CarolinaBigBlue, Andy Piper, and MichaelRose01. Or you can visit our blog at DogearNation.com. We'd like to thank the band Thinking Machine for their song, Lies. Thanks, guys.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. It's a place where listeners and podcasters come together. Find out more at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's.com.